this morning while we're standing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, now at this point in the service, and we're asking, Lord, for you to anoint us with your Spirit, Lord. Anoint us for the preaching of the Word, Lord. Father, that it may be able to express to the people, Lord, the thought that you've placed on our hearts, dear God, to be able to be a help to them, dear God, and a strength and a guidance. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to God be all the glory. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Last month, we had started speaking on the spirit of the last days, and I want to continue on that subject, the spirit of the last days. This would be part four. When we read these scriptures, Jesus is speaking prophetically, and some of it's going to happen within a few years there in Israel, and some of it's going to be held over to our time even. And so when you read these scriptures, you can't take them as verse by verse is happening today, tomorrow, and the next day. But there may be 500 to 1,000 years between each verse of what Jesus is prophesying here. And so to keep that in mind as we read, it says in chapter 21, verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." Now, this prophecy was speaking of when Jerusalem was going to be besieged by Titus in 70 AD. And Jesus is actually giving instructions to them on what they need to do when they see this time approaching. They need to flee out of Jerusalem, because Titus beset Jerusalem round about, and he starved them out, is what he did. They got to where they ate anything they could find. They even got to where they boiled one another's children. But there was none of the believers of that time, none of them were trapped in the city at that time, because when they saw these things approaching, they fled as Jesus had told them to. Verse 22, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, the next verse, we jump about 2,000 years ahead from the previous verse into the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. So here in verse 24, it's saying that this is the way it's going to be until the Gentiles' times fulfilled. Then the next verse, it drops into when the Gentiles' time is fulfilled. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Amen. You may be seated. Now, it isn't just that God's people is going to be under distress, but it says the nations would be under distress. There'd be a distress among the nations. And it would be not just on the people of God, but on the people of the world. But looking upon about us, you know, I've recently got to thinking about looking ahead over the next 10 years. You say, well, why would you look at that? You don't know the Lord's going to tarry long. No, I don't. But Sister Mina will retire in about a little less than 10 years. And so I've been looking ahead and thinking, what will times be like if God would tarry another 10 years? what's the times going to be like? And I've looked ahead and wondered, what would this church be if God would tarry in 10 years? And if God would tarry another 10 years, we're going to be missing some. Because not everybody's going to live to see the coming of the Lord, but some's going to go by the way of the grave. Won't be among those to rise first if the Lord would tarry that long. And thinking on those things, and you know, when you look back and remember, if you would look back, let's say you looked back 5 years ago or 10 and seen the things that we went through then, that we were going through then, and they were of great distress. You had times of great distress in your life 5, 10 years ago. But when you compare them to today, it's nothing compared to today. Today is worse. It keeps getting worse. And it's sort of like that God's got a rheostat. He just keeps turning it up. And the pressure just keeps getting turned up. And we're becoming under more pressure. And the world's becoming under more pressure. And the world's becoming under more distress. And more perplexity. And what will it be then? If another 10 years, what will the shape of the world be in? From things that, and it ain't just this little church here that goes through things. All the churches in the message face things and go through things. And there's different things that they face, you know, and it causes distress sometimes in their ranks. And there was a group that I was told of that it's in another country, but the pastor's son had the dad, he went and sat down with this family of this young lady of another message church. And they set aside for them to get married. And so, but then the young man later said, I don't want to get married. So then they were left with, well, what does it mean if they're already betrothed, aren't they as good as married? They can't separate and remarry and all these things, you know, then to come to find out, well, why the boy's dad had done this was because he had found out that they had slept together. And so his remedy for this was to go get him married. So now he's got him trapped into this thing. And now it brought a stress between a couple of the churches. Problems. The dad thought he had a problem to start out with, and then he just made it worse. He made a bigger problem. He made a mountain out of a molehill. You know, if he'd have had some good counsel, them two young people wouldn't be in that mess. Then you wonder, why is there a need for us to go overseas? It's not because that they're ignorant. They're not ignorant. But friends, the burden is, I believe, is on us because the message came in our language. If God would have sent the message in Spanish language, it had been some Spanish man that God would have rose up as a prophet and all that, then the burden would have been upon the Spanish people to try to get that out. But it wasn't. God sent it here in this nation. And the burden's on us because the bride just ain't called out of this nation, but it's called out of the world, every nation of the world. Brother Bram said it'd be a universal rapture. Now, just having an intellectual conception of this message is not good enough. What do I mean by that? Just mentally knowing, well, I know the message is right. Mentally, yeah, I know that Brother Barron was a prophet. Mentally knowing, yes, I know that I need Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. That ain't good enough. It don't matter what you know or what you can memorize. There's people that go around memorizing the scriptures, memorizing quotes, and can just spit them out like a Gatling gun. But that ain't enough. Reading your Bible is not enough. Because the Bible says itself, it says the letter killeth, but the spirit is what gives life. So you've got to read it in the right spirit. If you're reading it in the wrong spirit, you're going to get the wrong interpretation of it. There's a lot of people reading the Bible this morning in a spirit. But if it ain't the Holy Spirit, then they're not looking at the right, they're looking at in a glass darkly. You'll have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul to keep you in this time. To be able to combat the spirit of the last days, spirit that's upon the people, preparing them. What is it preparing them for in this last days? It's preparing them for the coming of the tribulation. But God, by the Holy Ghost, is preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. Leave out of here. The letter of the word can produce a certain amount of mental faith. Reading the word can produce a certain amount of mental comfort. But unless you've got the Holy Ghost, your comfort's going to run out and your faith's going to run out. I'll tell you this. I would hate to be sitting in a church somewhere under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and then the Lord come and me be left behind and me hearing the echoes of those services I sat in and just sat there and did nothing. Because it's going to come back. Talk about a haunting time. We can read God is good and God will help us. But when the battle gets difficult, are we going to stand? And unless you've had that birth on the inside of you, you won't stand. Distress can actually bring about unity. Pressure and distress can actually bring about unity. And Satan has got a unification going on. Uniting people, and they're being united by the distress they're under. Now, I try to stay out of politics, especially from the pulpit. But I believe like this. I believe that the president we had previous got allowed in there for a reason. And I believe the one we've got in there now, God put in there for a reason. But the liberals are in distress trying to get that fella out of there. They're perplexed. And they think they've won a victory. But I think it's going to backfire on them. But they're distressed. Because nothing they've done so far has seemed to work. Mueller reports and whatever more and this and that and the other. Now they're trying impeachment, and I don't think that's going to work neither. They're perplexed. We've watched the things happening in the nation, and there's different things, distress and things that come about that unify people. And I believe that this world is slowly, and I really believe this because not only what the prophet said, but because of the things I observe. And like I said, not trying to be political, but watching lately the liberals and their frame of mind that they've got into, and watching the world and knowing what the prophecies are, that this world and this, along with this nation, has got to come into a condition to where, excuse me, I thought I left that in the office. They've got to come into a condition to where they'll want a Superman. One man to step up and fix everything. The UN is going to fall. United Nations is going to fail. But there's going to be a uniting. And we know who that Superman is going to be. Amen. By the scriptures and by prophecy of this day, last day, the Antichrist is going to rise up, and he's going to be a Superman to a lot of people. Now, we've watched a lot of false doctrines rise up around this message over the years. False men, false teachings. We've watched them rise up, and we've watched them fall. And each one to come up looked like it was going to be great enough to stand. And then time passes. And what you find out is they ran off out on a branch somewhere where they couldn't get back. They locked something down to happen within a certain time. And that time came and went. And then they were left out there hanging on what they had said. But there's a unification that's going to bring the bride together. We've watched, what I meant by watching these false doctrines and false teachings all the rise up, it brought some unification, but around the wrong thing. But there's a unification of the bride, and it's not around a man. It's, and look, friends, God ain't sending another man. I'm not the man of the hour. None of these other message preachers that we know and we respect and love, they're not the man of the hour. There's only one man of the hour, and that's Jesus Christ. There's not coming another prophet. There's no need for it. Because the last prophet introduced Jesus Christ again to the people. So there's no need for another one. There was no other prophet rose up between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. It wasn't until after the passing, the Jesus Christ went away, then we had more prophets. There's not going to be another prophet between this last one and Jesus Christ. Now, God allows these things, excuse me, brothers, I'm trying not to cough into this mic. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have put it on. God has allowed distress to come in this church. He's allowed it to come in other churches. And what's it done? We're a lot stronger than we used to be, individually and as a church. Some of you can remember a time in your life when you were tossed about with every wind and wave, but not no more. And you look around and you see people being tossed about today, and you think, what is wrong with them? Why are they being so tossed about? Because they never had the birth. They never received the Holy Ghost. Look, y'all familiar with the message Brother Brown preached on why are people so tossed about? And that's what he goes into. But these things must be, even around the message, the stress must come to shake the people. And it shakes away the unbelievers. And it's mixing up and shaking away and breaking away the make-believers. It is. In John chapter 6, verse 66, those that didn't believe left, but a make-believer stayed. Judas. But then there came a time when the make-believer left the bunch. And when that make-believer left, then there was things Jesus could reveal to the disciples that he couldn't say as long as the unbelievers and the make-believers were there. So there has to come a time of a shaking away of the unbelievers and a time of betrayal by the make-believers. That's why they can't just leave the message, leave it alone and say, you know what? It's just me. I don't want to live by that. I want to do this or that and the other. They can't. They won't do that. Instead, they've got to say something bad about the message. What is it? They're betrayers. Great coming revival, Brother Branham says, Jesus said in the last days the waves would be roaring, perplexed of time, distress between nations. What was it? Speaking of these tidal waves, never been known in the history of the world ever, tidal waves ever broke through like that until the last days. The tidal wave, which was prophesied right here in this platform, struck Chicago right here. Think about that. He said a tidal wave struck Chicago. They ain't on the east or west coast. There was something to come up out of the lake there. And he said, wash people and kill people up and down the banks. No science could even figure it out. Said a wind must have come down. How in the world a wind come down like that? How could these things happen? It's the finger of Almighty God moving. Telling you that the end time is at hand. You should flee from the wrath to come. Raising Jairus' daughter, he says, this is the perplex of time. Did you ever hear of airplane wrecks and ships running together and perplex of times and distress of nations? Great sights and sea roaring and tidal waves that's never been known of. You're at the end time. the junction of time. He says, we're in the last days. We're at the junction. Men's hearts are failing for fear, perplexed of time, distressed between nations. The earth's getting so nervous till it's bursting forth earthquakes everywhere. How many knows we just had some earthquakes down in Puerto Rico? What's the matter? The earth knows she's doomed. She's nervous. The world's nervous. But the church is rising in the gospel, tucked away with security. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, there's been other end times. There was an end time in the days of Noah. And when the end came in the days of Noah, where was Noah? He was safe. Before one raindrop fell, Noah was safe. I'll tell you something, before one bomb falls, this bride's going to be in safe. This bride will be safe. She'll be gone. And the change will happen so quick that a missile won't be able to touch you. Because it said it happened in a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast. There's the end time in the days of Enoch, the end time sign, Enoch being raptured. That's going to be a sign to these people. Can you imagine knowing people that go in the rapture and somebody knowing them and be left behind? Can't get a hold of nobody that they know. Nobody's home. Nobody answers a phone. The church will be sitting here just like it sets Monday through Wednesday and Friday and Saturday, just the way it sets. Nobody there. It'll be setting like that on Thursday and Sunday too. Nobody there. What will they do then? I'll tell you one thing they'll know. They'll know a rapture took place and they missed it. I would not want to be in those shoes. Jesus said the distress was going to be so bad that men's hearts would fail them for fear. Brother Bram said, and hear ye him, he said, when the earthquakes are shaking, confirming his word, as the nations are breaking, confirming his word, man's heart's failing. More heart attacks than is ever known in all the world. His word confirmed. Men's hearts, not women, men's hearts failing for fear. Perplexed of times, distress. Signs of times, he said, in those days, men's hearts failing. More heart disease. That's not women, it's men. He never said women's hearts, he said men's hearts. But now we've moved so far along on the prophetic timeline, and things have changed. Women have begun taking more and more of the roles that once the man was in. And so now heart attacks among women have been on an increase. They're catching up with the men. And notice Jesus never said there'd be more heart attacks because of plaque in their hearts or blockages in their arteries. He never said that. He said, because of fear. There is a spirit in this last days, a spirit of fear that gets on people. And but remember, the Bible says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Heart disease among women has surpassed cancer as being the number one killer. It used to be cancer in women. Heart attacks has surpassed that now. Brother Branham said in 1955, God's servant Job, he said, today his coming is way past due, way overdue. Should have been here a long time ago. Now he said that back in 1955. Where are we at today in 2020? What's it waiting on? According to the scriptures, he's waiting on the cup of iniquity to be full. In the meantime, he's getting you and I ready to leave out of here. Hearts failing for fear. Many of the people in the world today, they don't know what you and I know. They look at, they hear some time ago, in recent times, years, they were looking at getting distressed over North Korea. Well, that's kind of dissipated a little bit. But then there's the things in Russia. Friends, there's only one thing holding Russia back. You know what it is? The angels of God. It tells us that in the book of Revelations. The angels are holding it back. But this fear that Jesus speaks of in Luke 21 means terror or a fear of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. When it's my time to go, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about my children and grandchildren and things like that and how I enjoy being with them. And then I got to think about what Paul said in the Bible. He says, I'm kind of torn between. I want to go, but I want to stay. And he says, I'm kind of torn between, is what Paul said. This fear that Jesus speaks of is the highest degree of fear. I'm not worried about the bombs in Russia. But you think about the people who don't know what we know, and they see those things. And they're not being made ready to leave here. They're being made ready to go through what's going to happen. Mentally, they're being prepared. So they're going to look at things different than the way you look at them because you're being prepared mentally to leave here. So they're going to look at him with fear. They're going to look at it with dread. Who wants to have their flesh eat off them with radiation? Nobody. You hear people say they're afraid that the president's going to start World War III. How many nations have got to be involved before it becomes a world war? I'm not quite sure of that. Because we've sure had some wars over the past few years. I guess the big nations is what's got to get involved. You know that Russia ran a simulated attack through their computers and that of the UK and of America. And according to their computer simulation, they were able to wipe us out. It's only the angels of God holding it back. Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Bram says, we've got one of the most dreadful times to go through that ever laid before human beings. One of the most dreadful times to go through. Friends, look, I can't, you know, this song's been on my heart since I've been studying this. It's a song, I couldn't find the words to it. I didn't have them, and I couldn't find them anywhere. But it's a song that the LaFontaine family sings. This is our time. This is the end time. I can't think of any better place that I'd rather be. It's our time. I'm not perplexed. Are you perplexed? I'm not perplexed. The more perplexity and distress that comes upon the nations and this world, the closer we are to leaving here. Hallelujah. One of the most dreadful times lays before human beings now. Terror strikes, bombings, destroying this, destroying that. Yeah, I'll read this to you. It's in Will Church Go Before the Tribulation, preached 1958. The angel said, I can do nothing until you come hither. I've got the lever in my hand to pull and make the fire fall from heaven. The angel of destruction is holding the hand of Russia with atomic bombs until the church comes together as one great body of Christ. I can't do nothing until you come hither. Oh, if that isn't a blessed assurance. And Jehovah Jireh, look, it could happen at any time. There's not one thing left. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We see in the hangars of Russia and all the different worlds, bombs and things that would destroy the complete world in one snap. The world could not stand it. And before that takes place, the church is going to glory. Remember, before any rain fell, Noah was in the ark safety. Before any fire ever fell, the angel said to Lot, get thee hence, get out, because I can't do nothing until you're gone hence. Got to get away from here. The church is going out before the destruction comes. God's provided way of fellowship, he said. How we thank thee that in this great hour, that when all hopes of mortal life is finished, atomic bombs are laid in hangars, hydrogen bombs, sickness, distress, germ warfare. Oh God, everything the way it is, knowing that the Bible said that man would actually rot in their flesh. But the angel was given commission, don't touch any of those. Don't come near those who has the wine and the oil. Don't touch those who has the seal of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the seal of God? Holy Ghost. It's like Paul spoke of it in Ephesians 30. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 30, I guess it is. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed till the day of redemption. Let's read from Psalms 91. Psalms 91 said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him." Amen. Brother Bram says again here in 1958, said, "Did you notice the angel said, 'I can do nothing till you come hither'? And before the atomic bomb can strike this nation, the church will be gone in the rapture to meet the Lord Jesus. And if the Sputniks and the missiles are set, the hammers are pulled back, the angels are all standing in order. So those bombs can't go off without angelic intervention." Did you know that... 1963, the USSR sent submarines into waters between us and Cuba. Nuclear submarines. You know why they didn't fire any off of this nation at that time? Because the angels were holding them back. They didn't fire because it wasn't time yet, because there was some of the bride that hadn't come in yet. There was some of the bride that hadn't been born yet. And so they couldn't fire off them missiles. Now we're coming down, like the song says, what are you going to do when the church is gone? Better get in while there's yet still room, the song says. While there's still time. Russia is anointed to destroy America. There is a spirit of the last days anointing for the destruction of this nation. God's provided a way of healing. Let me pass something here quickly. As our times are going, listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days there will be a germ warfare? Diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the angel who had charge over these plagues was given orders not to touch no one whom the seal was. Why? How much kind of a teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition, immune? God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it inoculates you. Hallelujah. Grant God that something will be said tonight or done that will cause the wayward to turn to Christ. For we believe and feel the pressed in the spirit that the great judgments are upon these lands. Last days, plagues, disease germs already bred up to be scattered throughout the nations. In bombing Gilead, he says, and then in this last closing hours of the world's history, when the world is staggering under the impact of sin and the hydrogen bombs and atomic bombs in the hands of the heathens, an unbeliever and ungodly who could destroy the whole world within a few seconds, we are told by our modern science, and it's just about 1 minute until midnight. Oh Lord, wake up, men and women. Anoint your ministers, Lord, like flames of fire, making the last call. Making the last call. One day, the last call to be given out in this church will happen. And then the bride from here will be sealed. And it'll be too late. I don't believe today is that day. And I thank God it's not. Because I believe there's still some that need to get right with God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're looking at the seriousness of the hour, the things that, Lord, that you laid in our hearts to say and bring about, to show us the seriousness of the time and the hour that we're living in. Lord, where we should be serious, it's no time for playing church anymore. That time's done, way gone, past, and over with. It's time to get in or get out. It's time to get right, Lord. It's time to know we're right. Time's running out, dear God. And I feel as a pastor for this church, Lord, and I see individuals, Lord, that are not ready to go. My heart goes out, Lord. I plead with them. Don't keep going the direction you're going, but turn to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessings upon the people today, dear God. Lord, help us to be anointed with the Spirit of God for this end time. To do, Lord, what you have called us to do. What you've placed in our hands to do. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.